Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
I'd like to go to Numbers 13 today as we start out, the Old Testament book of Numbers, chapter 13. Numbers 13, I will begin there. And just a little background as we get ready, we're going to cut in the middle of some things here that they're talking about in Numbers. But, you know, this is the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, going into the Promised Land, are supposed to be going into the Promised Land. That's where they're supposed to be headed. They didn't quite make it, but we can learn some lessons from them. Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Now, here's what I'm going to talk about. It's an unusual message. I'm not really into these things that much, but if the Lord says preach on it, then I don't know what else you do but preach on it, all right? I mean, this is where we're at. But I want to talk about overcoming insecurity and how you do it in Christ. So the title would be Overcoming Insecurity in Christ, because that's the best way to do it. Amen. Now, you know, what is insecurity? Well, it's a lack of confidence, you know, or assurance or self-doubt, you know. And I'm not, I'm not a self-help type preacher. I figure if you preach the word and that doesn't help you, nothing else is going to help you.
Yeah, right.
Isn't that right? But yeah, you know, if you know who you are in Christ, it does a whole lot for you. I mean, it'll put some fire in you. Amen. When you know who God has made you to be. And these things are in the Word. You just got to dig them out. All right. Let's go here to Second Numbers. Oh, there's only one number. All right. Numbers 13. Go there. And verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." So he's not just thinking, just get by here, is he? He says, well able. We are well able to overcome it. Everybody say well able. Not just a little bit able, but well able to overcome it. Now, all right, the background is they went to spy out the land. I think most people in here probably know that. They went to spy out the land of promise, and they came back, and they said, we can't take it. But yet Caleb and Joshua were two of all out of the whole group that came back and were ready to go right then. And Caleb says, we not only can do it, he said, we're well able. Now let me stop just for a minute before we read on. All right, in the natural, they weren't well able. So he's not talking about what he sees in the natural. Are you with me now? He's not talking about that, because in the natural, they're outnumbered. They're outsized. They're outgunned. But Caleb's not thinking that. He's thinking about what God said. Are you with me? If you measure your life by the natural, you measure your life by the world, you're always going to be defeated. When you measure your life in Christ, you're always going to be victorious.
That's right. Amen.
So he said, we are well able, amen, to overcome it. But the men, verse 31, that went up with him said, we're not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land. You know, God calls that unbelief evil. I said, he calls it evil. They brought up an evil report, which they had searched under the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it, it is a land that eats up the inhabitants thereof. All of the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which were come of the giants. And notice this, we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. I read that because I wanted to read the way these people saw themselves were grasshoppers. Were grasshoppers. See, some people have grasshopper faith. That's the way they see themselves. I can't do it. I can't overcome it. It's bigger than me. But here's the thing. If God said it, it's assured victory if you'll just go after it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Now, there is, you know, there's an epidemic in our society, and we don't, and you don't want it to get into the church, but there's an epidemic in our society of insecurity. Have you noticed today that so many people are offended? You can't hardly, now I'm not politically correct. I think you know that, right? I'm not going there. I'm not going to let the police speech rule my life. Amen. I won't say things that are offensive, but I'll say things that are true. Right? And so today I've noticed that anything you just about say in public today, somebody's going to scrutinize it and get offended over it. You know, I heard a sports broadcaster just a few weeks ago, he made a comment, and he was talking about certain people and how they really knew football. And that group of people got mad at him, like, did you think we were dumb? I thought, he was complimenting you. Get over yourself. Yeah. Right? So insecure. Amen. That if you say anything, you know, they're offended. You just need to get over yourself. You need to get over yourself and get in Christ. Now, hopefully this doesn't enter to the church to the degree it's entered into the world, but I'm just smart enough to know after 39 years of ministry that what's in the world will get in the church if you don't put a stop to it. If you don't say, no, we're not going there. Amen. We're not going to. I have preached before over the years, and I've had people get upset with me and say, you were talking about me. And I'm like, I wasn't even thinking about you. I mean, I didn't spend, you know, my day on Saturday preparing a message to preach about you.
Amen.
Amen. It's like one guy told me one time, he said, I won't be here in the next service. I said, well, I'm going to preach about you then. He said, you'll never find a better subject. All right. But have you know, I've had people get mad, and I've had people walk out because they thought I was preaching about them. That's called you're insecure,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Did you hear what my wife said? It must have fit. You know, there's an old saying: if you throw a rock in a pack of wild dogs, the one that yelps the loudest is the one you hit.
Yeah.
So when you yelp, you just gave yourself out that the word hit you.
Yeah.
You should have just kept quiet and said, "Boy," and poked your neighbor and said, "Listen, you need this.
Yeah.
You need this." But help me understand that you know we need to be so secure in Jesus Christ that if we do need correction, we can take it.
Right.
We're not offended by it.
Right?
Right. You know, and we you know, if somebody doesn't agree with us, we're not offended. I'm not offended if you don't agree with me. There's all kinds of people that have different views about things in the Bible and so forth. I'm not offended by that. I just don't get offended by that. You know, people can say to me, you know, I probably got people that I like that we're friends, maybe kind of friends, but they don't believe everything I believe. Maybe some of them will say, well, we don't believe in speaking in tongues. Well, then just don't do it. But I'm not offended at you. You have a right to be wrong. Like a friend of mine says, he said, you know, I took a poll. He said, everybody that likes me is okay. Everybody that don't's not. But how many know we shouldn't be so insecure in who we are that, you know, that we allow ourselves to be offended by things that people say. Because people are going to say things. And some of them don't even know they do it. I've had people try. My wife can tell you have to go a long ways to offend me because I don't know you did it. It takes me a while. I'm just in a zone of my own, I guess. But I've thought about things people said. I think they were trying to offend me, and I finally got it, you know. But, you know, we just got to live our lives where, you know, not in an arrogant way. Don't misunderstand why I'm saying this. Not in an arrogant way where it doesn't matter what people think about us, but yet again, it doesn't matter what people think about us. See, there's a quote in the bulletin this week. If you don't live by the praises of men, you won't die by their criticism. That's a good word. Because you get secure in who you are in Christ, and you know what I'm saying. See, when you know what you believe, then nobody can really. The only way you can be shaken is if you're not sure yourself. You know, if I just take one of these and tell Brother Greg, you know, that you see that right there, that right there is a chair. That's a chair. He says, "Oh no, that's a pickup truck." Now I'm not offended. I'm concerned, but I'm not offended. Because I happen to know that's a chair, right? And I'm rock solid in what I know and what I believe. See what I'm saying? If people can offend you, you're not rock solid in what you believe. Right? You know, I guarantee you, you get on social media and you preach and you do stuff like, people are going to have opinions about you, and you just got to learn you don't live by their opinions. It doesn't matter what people think about you. What matters is what God said about you. Amen. Amen. And when you get that down, you get concrete in that, it doesn't matter what people think. It matters what God thinks, and He thinks I'm okay. Not in an arrogant way. Don't misunderstand me. I don't mean to. See, there's that line where you could get arrogant, and Paul said you could think too highly of yourself. Where you think beyond what God's done for you. You think beyond who you are in Christ. You think in a natural, you're something special. Well, I mean, you're not anything special in the natural. Well, that was weak-witted. You know what I mean? We're special in Christ. See, in the natural, you're no different than I am, you know, right? You're just maybe not as pretty, but you're no different, right? You know, do you understand what I'm saying? See, I'm just talking about when we get over here in the natural, we're trying to live our lives out of the natural, then we can be offended. Then we can think too highly of ourselves. But when we realize who we are in Christ, then we realize God's given it to all of us. Hallelujah. So these people's problems was they looked at themselves in the natural. They said, "We're grasshoppers." It wasn't that Caleb and Joshua thought they were so good and they were so mighty. They knew what God said. They said, if the Lord's on our side. See, they're looking at it a totally different way. They're looking at it through Christ. You know, that's why you'd say it in the New Testament. They're looking at it through God, what He's made them to be, what He told them they could have. Amen. Now, so I want to talk about this morning, because a lot of people don't even know what they have in Christ. But God's people can be just as subject to this if they don't watch it, being insecure. Because we have an epidemic, like I said, in our society. So many people are so insecure. It's like, would you just get over yourself? I mean, can't hardly say anything. I don't pay attention to it. I just plow through it. But, you know, but a lot, there's this speech police going on in America trying to muzzle free speech, you know. Right? I mean, you know, you get canceled out today if you don't vote for who they think you ought to vote for. Well, that's none of your business, to be honest with you. I didn't mean you. I'm talking them, all right? Y'all good with me this morning? A little cocky, a little punchy this morning. Huh? I haven't had my coffee yet. Praise God. Look out. So, you know, I'm saying it's none of the world's business what I think or who I do. It's none of their business. Amen. Now, but think about this. What about some of God's people? Well, Moses, what about him? He said, "I'm slow of speech, I can't go." Right? Jeremiah said, "I'm too young, I can't go." God shows up to Gideon, he's hiding behind the wine press, hiding from the Midianites. You know what God's getting him, you know what God wants him for? To deliver Israel from the Midianites. He's hiding from them. And God shows up and says, "Hey, mighty man of valor." He's like, "Who, me? You don't know who you're talking about, man." He said, "My family is the smallest, weakest family in their tribe, and I'm the weakest one in the family." And God called him a mighty man of valor. Right? Well, he became that, didn't he? He delivered the Israelites from the Midianites. Well, you know, that's what God told Jeremiah. He said, I ordained you. I called you as a prophet from your mother's womb. I knew you from your mother's womb. He was anointing him to go speak to the nation. And Jeremiah said, "Well, I'm just a child or a youth. I'm young. I can't go." And God said, "Don't say that." We're going to talk about that in a little bit. Don't say that. You'll go to everybody I tell you to. But I mean, he could have allowed his insecurity to keep him from being in the Bible. See, God had more for Moses to do than what he did. Well, you read it. Finally, God he got angry at Moses and said, "Okay, I'll have Aaron do the talking." You're not getting out of this assignment, but you're not going to do the talking. I'll let Aaron do the talking. So God had more for him. This insecurity will cause you to lose your drive and your determination. If you don't know and you're not secure about who you are in Christ. Hallelujah. Now, let's go to the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And, I'm going to look at a few scriptures this morning, if that's okay with you. All right. If it's not, I'm probably still going to do it, but I'd really have you on board. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's go there because I want to just talk just a little bit. You know, anytime you see in the New Testament the phrase in Christ, that's who you are in this new creation. Amen. So you're no longer in Adam. You're no longer a part of the Adam family.
Right.
Yep. You are now, that's for people a little older right there. You are now in the Christ family. Amen. You're in Christ. God made, the old creation, Adam and all, is condemned. It's condemned. People want to, we've talked about this before, but people want to say, well, God, even the world thinks this, even church people think this, that God's going to weigh your goods and your bads, and if you got enough goods, you'll make it into heaven. It isn't about whether your goods or your bads, it's about what family you're in. What creation, let's say it that way, what creation? Are you in the old creation? Right? Or are you in the new creation? What happened was the old creation, Adam sunk the old creation, so God sent Jesus as the last Adam and made a new creation. Now, this old creation that's on the earth can now get in the new creation by accepting Jesus Christ. That's how you go to heaven. It isn't a matter of God weighs you out in the balance. It's a matter of whether you're in the new creation or you're not. And if you are, then you have everything the new creation has. See, Adam had it pretty good before he messed it up in the Garden of Eden and so forth. You know, he had it pretty good. But yet, you and I in this New Testament, we're not in the Garden of Eden. We're in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. We have it far better than Adam had it. You know, I know in the natural he had it better because, obviously Eden was better than Evansville. Okay, I offended some of you right there. We know Eden was better than the West Side. Where's all the East Siders at? How many know Eden was better than the East Side, West Side, or Central of Evansville, right? But yeah, see, we're not talking about the natural. In the spirit, I just said that because of the rivalry, between East Side and West Side. But anyway. How many know in the spirit, we're talking about in the spirit, we're in heavenly places. We're far better off than what he had it. He didn't have this what we have today. Amen. So, it's just that we'll talk about this a little bit, but we got to realize what we have. Amen. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Are you there? Verse 30. Listen to this. It says, But of him, of God, are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So this tells us that in Christ Jesus, we have wisdom. We have righteousness. We have sanctification. That means sanctification means being set apart. That means there's no sin or any bondage that can hold us. We have redemption, which means we're redeemed from sin. We're redeemed from sickness. We're redeemed from the curse. So all these things are ours in Christ. This is who you are. Come on, are you with me? Did you know that there are some people in the church that they haven't even got this far to know that they have this? Amen. See, they just, have you ever heard the phrase that we're just old sinners saved by grace? Did you know that's not true for the believer? You were an old sinner. You got saved by grace. You're not called a sinner any longer. Read the book of Romans. Paul said to all the saints that be at Rome. Well, I thought, man, to be a saint, I had to be like Mother Teresa or something like that, to be a saint. No, the truth of the matter is, no offense to anybody, but the truth of the matter is, once you get born again, you're just as much a saint as anybody else. It's something you are because you got in the new creation. All right, you were just, it's just a privilege that you have. Amen. You belong to a club or something, you get all the privileges with it. Amen. Right. You know, like some of these shopping places here in town, they're called clubs. You know, you got to have your card to get in. They make you feel special. So you come in and buy the stuff there instead of over at Walmart. Walmart never asks for a card. Just your Visa card. See, they make you feel like you got some privilege here. You have to pay to get in here. Right? Yeah. I was at a meeting one time, long time ago. See, a lot of times people think if it costs them money, then that's why giving stuff away sometimes to church people, it doesn't work. You find it laying out in the parking lot. You got to pay for it, so it feels like it's worth something to you. Amen. I was preaching at a camp meeting one time. There's another preacher there, and I had my tape table set up. You know, it was cassette tapes in those days, and I sold my cassettes for a dollar. And he gave me such a hard time over that. He got up. It was his time to get up. He goes, "Did you see those cassettes out there for a dollar? A dollar. A gospel tape for a dollar. He won't sell any. Not for a dollar." After the service, I didn't do the tape table, but somebody else was doing it. After the service, I was walking back through there. I think going to the pastor's office. I noticed his table was empty and mine was crowded. He advertised for me. I didn't know you're selling for a dollar. Now, how many, you know, but the thing of it is, really, you know, here's how valuable you are to God. How many know what you pay for something usually indicates the value of it? And what he was saying was true. I probably should have charged like $100 a CD. But anyway, nobody would have bought them, you know what I'm saying. But we just did it. In those days, we were doing it just, you know, so we could get it out. We didn't really care whether we made any money off of it. We were just trying to help people, you know. And that was our purpose. So, but there is some truth in what he was saying, that if people don't pay money for it, they don't consider it valuable. You know, I mean, think about our country and all the free stuff we give away. What do those people do? Do most of those really advance their lives? No, they take it for granted. It's like, you owe me. But here's how valuable you are to God, that he didn't buy you with gold or silver, but with the precious blood of Christ. He paid. That's how expensive you were for God to buy you back. Now, I don't know if you ever thought about that, but that's how much God considers your worth, that he gave the precious blood to purchase you. That shows his value, what he thinks about us. I know it's hard to imagine, but God sees something we don't see. He sees what we can be, what he's made us to be. Maybe not what we see ourselves as, but what he sees us as, which is a whole lot different in the way we look at it. We have to change our thinking, and I want to talk to you about that. Is that all right? Now, all right. So he says, this is what we are in Christ. We're wisdom. Don't say I'm stupid. Or don't say you're stupid. You might say I'm stupid, but don't say you're stupid. Don't even say I'm stupid. Say I have wisdom. See, what else? Righteousness. Sanctification. I can't overcome it, Pastor. I just can't overcome it. Wait a minute. You got sanctification. There's nothing you can't overcome. And you got redemption. That's who you are in Christ Jesus. See, Colossians says it this way. You're complete in him. People say, well, you know, if I get married, you know, I know I'm going to feel whole again. Well, no, there's people that are married who don't want to be married. They don't feel whole. It's because they're not doing it right. See, if you have to have anything in your life to make you complete, well, if I just get my new house, I know I'll be complete. See, the devil tricks people like that. You know, if I could just get a new truck, Pastor, I know I'd really feel good about myself. I'd feel complete. No, you wouldn't. No. See, you may think you would. Well, if I could just get a spouse, if I could just get married. Well, marriage is good. Marriage is honorable. It's of God. And God blesses you with a wife, and he wants you to be married. But that's not going to complete you. Right. What's going to complete you is when you know who you are in Christ. Right. Now, when you're in Christ, you don't have to have any of those other things. They're extra blessings. But if you never have them, you're still good to go. That's right. Well, that's just because you've never not been married. No, I have not been married before. I wasn't born married. I know what it's like to be single. I know what it's like to be married. I'll take married. But Phyllis was complete before she met me. And I was complete before I met her. We were already complete in Christ. We just got to be a blessing to one another's life. This is not a matter of completion. Now I'm complete, you know. You know, man, I got my two cars, my one and a half kids. And, you know, I'm complete, man. I'm in the American way, man. I own my own house, I got one and a half kids, got my own car and boat, man. I'm complete. No, you're not. You're not complete. You're not complete unless you're complete in Him.
Right.
There's people with all that kind of stuff that they end up taking their lives because they're not complete. They're messed up. The devil's got them messed up in their mind, see. He's attacked them. So we're complete in Him, amen?
Yeah, amen?
So let me talk to you about this, all right? Let's talk about this. If this is what we are, if I have wisdom, wisdom's mine, this is what I am, this is what I have. If I have righteousness, if I have the sanctification, and I have this redemption, Pastor, this preaches good, this is a good verse, but it really doesn't mean anything. Well, let me tell you, Paul didn't put it in there for it not to mean anything. He put it in there because it's reality. But why is it a reality in our life? Well, I'm going to give you a couple reasons why. Number one, if this revelation of who you are in Christ, if this is going to affect your life, the first thing you got to do is believe it. I said, you got to believe it.
Amen.
And even a church like ours that preaches on faith, people still don't get it. We still got to work at it.
Right.
We never arrive. How many know that? When I say we don't get it, I mean, what I mean is we still got to pay attention to what we're doing.
Yes. Right.
Because I pray for people before and then they act like nothing happened.
Right.
And the Bible said, when you pray, believe you receive. That means you're not supposed to walk away like nothing changed.
Right.
So we're still not getting it. So we have to believe that these things actually work in our life. See, you know, I may have been this week's bulletin, I think. I used to see the sign years ago, prayer changes things. And it came to me one time, you know, prayer doesn't change things. Believing prayer changes things.
Amen.
That's what Jesus said. A lot of people, he said the Pharisees were praying, but they were hypocrites. They stood on the street corners to pray. They lifted their voices to pray. He said, but they didn't do anything. Believing prayer changes things. In other words, we believe something changed. So it's the same thing with these. If you just look at yourself in the natural and what's going on in the natural, then and you don't factor these things in, then you'll be in unbelief, and it won't work for you. But you have to believe, I have wisdom. Don't go around saying, I don't know what to do. Ask God for wisdom to manifest in your life. That's part of your inheritance. You are righteous, praise God. You have redemption. You have sanctification. You don't get these things. I don't care how many times you come to church, you're not going to live in victory until you get a hold of who you are in Christ Jesus. Paul told Timothy, he said, if you're a good minister, he said, you'll nourish people in the words of faith and good doctrine. Now, what do you mean by that? Aren't they the same? No, words of faith is how to live in victory.
Yeah.
If you're a good preacher, you'll school people how to live in victory and in good doctrine, which means verse by verse, you know, expository teaching of the Word of God, so people have a well-rounded diet and know everything. They don't just know how to live in victory, but they know how to live right.
Yeah.
And they know how to please God, and you know, different things. That's what Paul was telling Timothy. If you're going to be a good minister, you got to nourish people in words of faith and good doctrine.
Right.
Preach on how to be victorious.
Amen.
And then preach the rest of the Word of God. I mean, all the Word of God will make you victorious. But I mean, there are some things in there that we wouldn't necessarily say is like word of faith, preaching. But it's still the Bible. You know, Paul said things like knowing the, knowing God, you know, we tremble. We need to know that. We need to know about how awesome our God is, how great our God is, and about holiness, all these things. But a good minister is not going to just preach to you verse by verse only. He's going to give you words of faith where you can live in victory. And a good minister is not going to just give you words of faith where you can live in victory. He's going to give you the rest of the Bible too. If you understand what I'm saying, all the Bible is a word of faith. All of it will produce faith in you. But there are certain parts of it that teach us how to live in victory and who are in Christ. We need to be preaching those things. Amen. I know I'm a little intense today, but you get something today? So number one, you have to believe these things. You have to believe them. Number two, you have to confess them. Now, go to Proverbs 18. This is a real familiar scripture to you, but let's go there. Proverbs 18. Most of you probably know where we're going. Proverbs 18. Let's go there. So we have to believe that this is who we are in Christ. See, if we're going to overcome insecurity, the only way to truly do it, is find out who you are in Jesus Christ. I know Jesus is pretty secure about himself. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, when he when he walked up to Lazarus' tomb, and Lazarus had been dead 4 days, 4 days. And Jesus said, "Roll the stone away." To me, that is a secure preacher.
Right.
Hmm? Yeah. You know, his sister said, "Oh, Lord, by this time he stinks." Well, dead to life takes a miracle, doesn't it? Stinky dead to life takes a miracle. So it doesn't matter. See, sometimes we judge things on how bad it looks. It doesn't matter. It takes God. It takes God. He says, "Roll the stone away."
Amen.
Now, you know, I don't know if I'm that secure yet. I might have said, "If we hear any noise in there, move that brick." But Jesus said, "Roll the stone away." And then listen to how he prayed. "Father, I thank you. You heard me. I know you always heard me. And I'm only saying this for those that are around me. Lazarus, come forth." I thought, guy's been dead for 4 days. And he prays less over that than we do over the offering. This is a secure guy. Jesus knew who he was, didn't he? You know why he knew who he was? Because he meditated the scriptures. Those silent years, you know, with what we call the silent years, we know about his life, you know, up till 12 years old. And from 12 years old on up to 30 when he began his ministry, there's no record of what he was doing. Except when you search the scriptures in the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms gives us prophetic insight in Psalm 119, verse 97 and following. It gives us prophetic insight what Jesus was doing. The Bible tells us he was meditating the scriptures. And when he came to his first sermon was in his hometown. He came into that synagogue and he said, he found the place in Isaiah where it was written. Remember that? And he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me." What? Where did he find it? He found that in the Bible, meditating the scriptures. See, a lot of times we get this picture of Jesus that he was just automatically knew everything. But the Bible says he grew in wisdom. So that means he had to study the scriptures to grow. And that's what he was doing. Amen. So, you know, and there's just pictures that we have. You know, you just think, well, Jesus, you know, he automatically knew who he was and all that. Well, not necessarily. The Bible says he grew. He grew in wisdom. Well, that means you got more wisdom as you went along. Can you say amen?
Amen.
All right, Proverbs 18, you found it? Verse 20, it says a man's, this is the old King James, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Let's break this down a little bit before we read the next verse. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. What's the fruit of your mouth? The words of your mouth. And with the increase or harvest of your lips, you're going to be filled. So what are you saying about yourself? Verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So death and life, where's death and life at? Where's it at? It's in the power of your tongue, right? That's what the Bible says. So we have to make sure we're saying what the Bible says about us, because His words are life. Amen. And so we have to make sure. See, I like this. The little book in the New Testament before Hebrews, Philemon. How many studied Philemon this week? But there's a great scripture in Philemon, verse 6 says that we're to acknowledge every good thing in us, which is in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? We're to talk about what's what's in us. So in other words, instead of talking about being ignorant, I don't know what to do, don't talk. Now, you may not know. That might be the truth at that point. You may not know what to do. So we're not denying the facts. But that's not going to help you by continuing saying, I don't know what to do. Say, thank God I have wisdom. Thank you, Lord, for showing me what to do. I mean, He knows what to do. He knows what to do. Now, all right, go to, we got just a little time here. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. I want to show you another scripture here. Are you keeping up with me this morning? Yes. Doing some teaching this morning. Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to read a few verses here. Ephesians chapter 4. Because you have to, if you're going to overcome insecurity, you have to know who you are in Christ. You have to say who you are in Christ. Amen. It's not just enough to say, well, pastor told me who I was, and that's good enough. No, it has to become real to you. Right? Remember Isaiah said it this way. Isaiah said, have you not known? Have you not heard that the everlasting God, the maker of the ends of the earth, neither faints, neither is weary? Have you? Y-O-U. See, not that you got it from somebody else, but you got it yourself. See, a lot of people's relationship is based off what somebody else has said. And that's the fact. In other words, their relationship is all based off what maybe their pastor has been preaching or somebody's been preaching. But that's secondhand knowledge. God wants you to find out for yourself in the Word. Amen. See, you know, you may trust your pastor, you may trust whoever you're listening to, and they may be right and good, but you don't know unless you experience for yourself. Right. You know, it's just like with Pastor Jerry. Well, I've known Pastor Jerry for a long time, since at least the 90s probably. And so I know that, you know, if I took my billfold out of my pocket and I gave it to him, I know most of it would still be there when I got it back. And he'd probably take a tithe out for lunch. But other than that, I know most of it would still be there, see. Now, you may not know that about him. No, I trust him. I trust him with my money. I trust him with my life. I've known him that long, all right? So I know him. Now, I could tell you that. Matter of fact, you know, I could tell another pastor, look, have him preach. I mean, he'll do your church good. He'll do your church good. Amen. Well, that pastor may say, well, okay, I'll have him in. But you know, that pastor doesn't know him. He just knows me. He's trusting him because of me. Right? That's totally different, see. See, some people are trusting God a little bit because of what somebody else said. Right? Amen. And you need to know, it's like one guy, he actually was a pastor. He had a heart attack in his office. He said, I'm just going to do like those faith guys and just say I'm healed. He stood up and he died. What happened? He didn't know God in that area. He knew what somebody else said about God. But he hadn't taken time to search the Scriptures out and convince his own heart. See, so you may trust, that other pastor may trust Pastor Jerry based on what I say, but it's secondhand knowledge, see. Now, once he gets to know him, then he knows he can trust him, not by what I say, because he knows him. See, that's what God's saying. You got to come know me. Right. Amen? You know, you can't just, because just to be honest with you, there's a lot of preachers on TV. Some of the stuff they're saying is just goofy. And God's not that way at all. Amen? God's good. Now, Ephesians, did you find it? Yes. All right, verse 23, verse 4, chapter 4, excuse me, chapter 4, verse 23. The Bible says for us to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Have your whole attitude about you changed, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So what is he saying? He's saying, look, well, you got to have your whole, once you come in Christ, once you become a believer, you got to have your whole attitude, the whole spirit of your mind changed about who you are and what you're doing. Amen. See, your mind has to be renewed. You've been delivered, praise God. You've had something called sanctification. Yes. I'm set up. See, when I got saved, and I hope you were the same way, I got a revelation. I'm delivered from this stuff. Right. It didn't take me long to find out, you know. I'm somebody new. I'm somebody. Your mind has to be renewed, see. Yes, sir. So it's like I've told you, a friend of mine that after I got saved, I told you a story before, but I want to tell you a couple right here. A friend of mine, after he got born again, I actually went to witness to him to lead him to the Lord. And, you know, we ran around before we were saved. I got born again. I haven't been born again, but just a short period of time. Now I'm over to see him, try to lead him to the Lord. When I get there, you know, he's working on his TV. And I tell him, I said, you need to give your life to Jesus. He said, I already did. But he's just cussing like a sailor. I mean, foul words coming out of his mouth. Of course, I'm just a babe in the Lord. And I thought, you did not. But yet something inside of me, I heard this inside me, just like a witness inside of me said, just leave him alone. He's walking in all the light he has. He doesn't know that once you get saved, there's a lot of things God starts cleaning up, right? One of them's your mouth. One of them's the way you live, things you do. So anyway, so I just left him alone. And then I recommended a good church for him to go to where I knew he'd get the word preached to him. And he got filled with the Holy Spirit. And all that left him. See, he had to have his mind renewed about who he was in Christ. He didn't have that right off the bat. Amen? Now, you know, another person, I'm thinking about another person that got saved. They got saved at our service at the Revival Center. They got saved, gave their life to Jesus Christ. Actually, this man and his wife got saved at the same time. Gave their life to Jesus Christ. Now what I'm about to say, if you like to smoke cigarettes, just do whatever you want to do. Don't get condemned. Help yourself. I'll see you in heaven. Keep my food warm because you're going to beat me there. There is something on the side of that pack that says hazardous to your health. Help yourself. So, all right. So, you know, I'm not saying people. That, it's like a lady asked John Osteen one time, can you dip snuff and go to heaven? He said, yes, you'll have to go to hell to spit, though. But, you know, so, but this person, if you want to be delivered, you can be delivered. Right? I'm not saying heaven or hell here. People get all touchy, you know. Pastor Shaw, if I smoke a Marlboro, I'm going to hell. I did not say that. You'll smell like it, but you're not going. Now, but you're really defiling your temple, you know. And so it's just not good for you. But anyway, this man, he gets saved. And he's walking out the church, okay. And he's got his Marlboros in his pocket, you know. And so he walks out. He pulls one out, puts it in his mouth, gets ready to light it. His wife says, you don't do that anymore, do you? She had her mind renewed pretty quickly. And I loved his response. He said, well, I guess I don't. Threw it away. Now, how did he get delivered so quickly from that? Because he believed it. And he said it. I guess I don't. Right? See, I'm convinced that, see, when I went to that altar, when I gave my life to Jesus Christ, I was a hardcore drug user. I didn't just use light stuff. I was a hardcore drug user. That was the lifestyle in those days a lot of us lived. We came out of the 60s and 70s. We lived this way. That was our lifestyle. But yet, when I gave my life to Jesus Christ, that was it. But I'm convinced now I have met people that afterwards still struggled. But they were still saved. They were saved. They were going to heaven. They were just struggling with the flesh. But why didn't I struggle? I look back and I think the reason was is because I expected to get free. I thought if I came to Jesus Christ, that stuff was gone. And so it manifested in my life a lot easier because it's just my expectation. It wasn't that I wasn't bound to it. Man, I was bound. But Jesus Christ, when you renew your mind, and you change the whole attitude of your mind. My whole attitude was, believers don't do these things. And so it set me free. Hallelujah. Now, you know, there are preachers that tell you, well, you know, you're saved by grace, just do whatever you want. But I wouldn't follow their advice if I was you. See, so you have to have your whole way of thinking changed. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Did you get something today? Yeah, if you're going to be overcome insecurity, you got to know your identity in Christ. The Bible says, as a man thinketh, what? In his heart, so is he. What does that mean? Not just thoughts that run through his mind, but those thoughts he keeps thinking and they become a part of him. That's what controls his life. See? So you have to change things. Amen? Amen. You know what the Bible says about us in 1 John? I love this in 1 John. We won't go there. We'll close this morning. The Bible says, as he is, so are we in this world. And therefore, we don't have to be afraid. Hallelujah. Not we're going to be like him. We are right now on the inside like him. Right now, everybody. Not like, now I know you may not look like it, you know, on the outside, and you may not always act like it on the outside, but I'm just talking to you about, man, taking advantage of what's been done on you. Like Philemon, Paul told Philemon, acknowledge every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. This is who I am. This is what I have. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. And it'll change your life. I know this with my own testimony. I know this. I had so messed my life up with drugs before I gave my life to Jesus Christ that I wasn't thinking straight. I wasn't thinking right. I was slow. You say, well, Pastor, you still are. Well, yeah, but I'm light years ahead of where I was. You should have seen me years ago, folks. No, I had messed myself up. It's messed my thinking up. But something happened when I met Jesus Christ. Listen, I would approach maybe a new job or something, or something new, before I was saved, and it just taxed my brain. I'm like, well, how do you do that, man? Well, after I got saved, that all changed. Well, because of the life of God. I'm telling you, the life of God changes you. You know, this is my final story today. This is it. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
I don't like the way you said that. I'm going to tell them. But the life of God will come in and change you. I remember before I got saved, you know, you had to get your license renewed every 4 years. I guess you still do, right? So, well, yeah, but you're from way out in the sticks. Where we're at, you got to do it every 4 years. And am I right about it, every 4 years? Some of y'all better go check your license. I think they're expired. Is it six? Did it used to be four? Okay. It used to be four. I'd usually let the state trooper tell me when mine need renewed. But anyway. But I'd given my life, you know, I needed my license renewed. I am a drug user. I have hair down to here. I am messed up. And somewhere along, I think it was like 1976, they made you start getting your picture on your license. You know, before you didn't have to have your picture. They made you start getting your picture. So this is the 70s, the later 70s, latter 70s. And I'm going in there to get my license renewed. It's a Saturday morning, and you have to be in there by noon because they close at noon, and I don't do anything by noon on Saturday morning the way I lived. I wasn't home till 4:30 or 6 in the morning. And so I had to get up. I was rough looking, man. I get in there, and they take my picture. And then a couple years later, I get born again. Hallelujah. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. So I still got that old mugshot. Now I thought to myself, because I had to go get my license renewed. I'm in Jesus Christ now. Life of God's flowing through me. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to keep that as a souvenir. You know, before and after. This is what I look like before and this is after. And so I go to the license branch, and the lady says, well, I will need your old license. I got to have your old license. I said, well, I want to keep those. She says, well, you can't. I said, well, no, I really like to keep those, ma'am. She said, no, you can't. You got to turn them over to me. So I gave her those old licenses before Christ. She looked at that picture. I'm not putting any jam on this. She looked back at me and she said, that's not you. I said, well, yes, ma'am, that's me. No, that's not. That's not you. I said, ma'am, that's me. She asked me, she goes, what happened to you? Now, you know that's bad when the lady at the license branch sees your old picture, sees you now, and goes, what happened to you? Well, you know what I told her? I told her this. I said, that's what happens when the life of God comes inside of you.
Amen.
You get a new identity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.